And so, my hearty crew, I speak to you now from Newark Airport's meditation room, interdenominational, and hopefully no one else will be coming in here so I can get through this up. We're holding on Daf Yud Aleph today, and we're up to the piece of the Mishnah that says that if someone prepared gozalot b'toch hakein, and then when he came to take them on Yontev, Matzah lifnei hakein, he found them instead in front of the actual chamber, the birdhouse, Asurim, because we're assuming that the birds that he prepared for before Yontev have disappeared, and these that are now in front of the cubicle, these came from somewhere else, and they are mukt. Now, Lechora, again, Lema Misayel, Rebbe Chanina, Yomer Rebbe Chanina, Rov, Vekorov, Alechachar, HaRov. Over here, clearly, it's very likely that the birds that were inside have now moved over at the front, their little porch, in front of their little cubicle in their birdhouse. And yet, nonetheless, because the Mishnah says it's Asur, it appears that the Mishnah holds that the problem over here is that if you take a look in general, where could these birds have come from? I mean, obviously, the overwhelming majority of birds in the world are coming from elsewhere, which proves Rabbi Chanina's contention that if you've got a reason to believe that something is korov, and on the other hand, you have reason to make it dependent on a rov, which one takes precedence? The rov. And in this case, the rov is also because it's muksa. Omer Abaye, and as we said earlier, and this was the place that originally Abaye said it, Omer Abaye, not necessarily, because we may be talking about over here in that little dot, that porch in front, or that little stick in front of the shofach itself. And therefore, the derech is that birds from all over will come and will sit down on it. In which case, in this particular situation, the gozalot that were there on Yontev may simply have come from that daf with all the other birds because they came from other places. And even if, in general, we would go after korov and not after rov, in this particular case, since birds from all over the world hang out on this little porch in front of the birdhouse, they're just as korov in that sense. And therefore, we do not have a raya over here to a contradiction between rov and korov, which is what Rav Chanina was talking about, where he said, go according to the rov. Rav Amar, Rav says another reason why we can't bring a raya from Rabbi Chanina to here. We're talking over here, b'shnei kinim zo l'malo mizo askina. Case over here where there were two cubicles, one on top of the other, and there were no other shofchim anywhere else. And the question over here is not because we're dealing with birds that may have come from somewhere else in the world, but rather from birds that may have come directly from the next door cubicle. So in other words, Erev Yontev, he went ahead, and he took Cain A, let's say, right? And there were gozalot in both of them. And now comes along Yontev, and he finds that the gozalot are only in front and not inside the cubicle. Inside of the cubicle itself, there's no birds whatsoever. Now, since the birds that he prepared are not in the place where they were, and the gozalot that are mukta are also not in the place where they were, therefore we have to be choshish in this case that the birds that he had set aside indeed flew away, and these are the birds that were korov, not rov, but korov itself, and are now in front of the cubicle. Therefore, this has nothing to do with Rabbi Chanina's, because here we're talking about not Helechachar Rov, but because of Yudvin Helechachar HaKorov, just as much. And Lomi Boy, the reason that the Tana said this case that it's talking about was Zimein Betachtona, Lomi Zimein Belyona, where you had a two-storied birdhouse, and the ones that were prepared were not only the case where you had prepared the lower ones, not the upper ones, then you find only birds in the lower one. Velomatza Belyona, you didn't find anything in the upper one at all. In that case, makes a lot of sense to the Assyrian, because normally the young birds, the chicks, will fall down, not fly up. So there, Damrinan, Hanach, Azuli Alma, the ones that you had originally set aside, have flown the coop. The Hanach and the birds that you're finding now are the birds that were in the upper story, in Ishtarvu, Ishtarvu, Vanochos. They basically slip down, which happens very often with chicks, and they're now sitting on the porch of the lower cubicle. Elafil, even if the case was Zimein Belyona v'lo Zimein B'tachtona, that on the contrary, the ones in the upper cubicle were the ones that had been Mizuman. And now, Ubo Matzah Belyona v'lo Matzah B'tachtona, you do find birds on the porch of the upper cubicle, but no birds in the lower cubicle. Even this case is Osir, even though normally it's not assumed that the young chicks are going to find their way to go up to the next story. The Amrinan, even in this case, we would say Hanach Azuli Alma, and the birds that were above have flown the coop. The ones that were found were birds that managed to push their way up and are now sitting on the porch of the upper cubicle. Okay, so we have two possible reasons why we cannot bring a raya over here from Rabbi Chanina in terms of Rovinkov. The next case in the Mishnah was in Ein Sham Elohim. If all that exists around this entire area of the Cain, Erev Yontif, are the gozalot that you had prepared, and that's all that was in the area, so then Hare Elu Mutarin, then even the ones that are in front are Mutar, because there it's only reasonable to say that these are the ones that had been Mizumanim from before. So Hechidon, explain what the case is. Elaim will be before Rachim. We're talking about birds that are already mature enough to fly, and they can fly to whatever distance. So then why should the Mishnah say that it's mutter just because I didn't see any before Yontif? These are big birds. The birds that we find there could have flown from anywhere. The birds who were originally there could have flown the coop and disappeared. Ella, we've got to be talking about bimidadin. They were talking about young birds that could only hop about, and they're not going to fly away. Okay, what's the case? If there's another birdhouse within 50 amot, and there we find birds, why would the Mishnah be matir? The din is that we have to be choshish that hopping birds can hop out of 50 amot, and idaduye idadu, it's very possible that birds have now come from that other cane, and they could have reached this cane. And if it's talking about the Leka cane betoch hamishim amot, if there's no cane within 50 amot, then there's no chidashir at all, then pshita the mutari. The yomar marukva bachama, what would be the point of telling me this big chiddush over here in the Mishnah? We know that a bird that can only hop does not hop further than 50 amot and begins to feel now insecure. Answers the Gemara Liolam Dika came betoch hamishim amot. We're talking about that it is there within 50, but it's around the corner. We could go into Kaimi Bekaren Zavit. The chiddush is that you have to assume, you would have thought, that these indeed have hopped over. Come Ashman, come along, the Mishnah told me that there's no chashash of hopping from around the corner. Because where the young bird can hop and can look back and still see its own nest where it came from, then it hops. But if it doesn't have that security and it turns around the corner, it will not continue to hop. It will go back, and that you can rely on that lalacha to say that these birds must not have come from the other cane and they hopped. These are not birds that have hopped over, but rather these are the birds that I have left. Zokta Elika Mishnah. And this, of course, is the Mishnah that we discussed earlier when we were talking about the need to invert the Mishnayas, the Shitas in the Mishnayas. Beit Shammai Omrim, Einot Ta'ali L'Katzev Alav Basar. You're not allowed to move the thick board that you usually use for crushing wheat to make cereal, to use it as a cutting board for meat, because this ali is considered to be a kli shemalachto li'isur, and a kli shemalachto li'isur, obviously not allowed to crush on Yontif, it's tochin, even though it is a tzorchocho nefesh. These are things that were not mutter, as we're going to discover in the Masechta later. And therefore, you cannot be metatalit even the tzorch gufo, according to Beit Shammai, meaning to use it for itself, but as a cutting board, because according to Beit Hillel, you can move it to use it for something else. Beit Shammai Omrim, furthermore, there's another machlokas here, as we saw earlier. When you shecht an animal and you skinned it, you're not allowed to put that skin in a place where people will be walking over it to prevent its decay. You cannot even lift it up because it's considered to be mukta at this point because there's nothing you can use it for. It would only be permissible in a case where there is a kizayit of edible meat on it, and there the or is bottle to the meat. Whereas Beit Hillel Matirin, Beit Hillel allows both moving it and putting it in front of the dorsan. And the reason is that if we wouldn't, he wouldn't shecht in the first place because he doesn't want to lose the money, and therefore he's going to be moneya from Simchas Yontif. Says the Gemara, Tana, says in a brisa about the machlokas in the Mishnah regarding using the cutting board, that for shoving, Beshamay Basil agree, she'in kiseva love basar, shasur l'taltala, that if you already had used this to cut the meat and you no longer have any need for it, that at that point you cannot move it around, even though now it's in an exposed position, you'd like to put it back to hide it or to get it out of the sun or out of the rain. Omrapaye machloket ba'ali. Furthermore, it says Abaye, the whole machlokas b'shamay b'shil is only in terms of what's usually used for crushing wheat. Avo betavra garmi. But if you have an actual butcher board, which is meant for this, divriyakom mutter. Everybody would agree, both b'shamay b'shil, that it's mutter. Because, well, obviously, pshita. I mean, it says Ali in the Mishnah. I know how to read. And it's obviously only because the Eli is a klishim lachtol yisr, something that is meant for that purpose. Why in the world would I think that it could possibly be usher to use it? Says the Gemara, no, there is a chiddush. What is the chiddush? Ma detem hu adin dafiu tavra gar minami. Even a butcher board would also be usher, according to Beit Shammai, because he fears that maybe after picking it up, you'll decide that, you know what, I'm not going to cut more meat. In which case, again, he was tereach on yantiv shelo letzarech, a concern that we've seen a number of times earlier. And the only reason, so you'll ask, why did the Mishnah mention Ali then? Isn't there a bigger chiddush to tell me the case of the Tavra Garmi? No, Adiktani Ali, the reason that it mentions this case is on the contrary. Tell me lo diacha kuchanda Beit Hillel, to tell me the koch of heter of Beit Hillel, that even something which is a klisha malachta l'yisr, nami shori would be also mutter, but certainly the Tavra Garmi would be mutter according to Beit Hillel. Nonetheless, according to Beit Shammai, comes along by it to say, you should know that Tavra Garmi l'maisa is mutter. Kamashma comes along by it to tell us that Beit Shammai, you shouldn't think that this is the explanation, and that indeed Beit Shammai doesn't argue on the Tavra Garmi, on a cutting board for meat, actually Garmi is bones, for butcher board, and it's mutter to use it on Yontav, and there is no chashash that maybe he'll be tereach shelo letzarech. Ikari Amri, others say that Abaye himself gave this explanation about the pshita. And he said, Omer Abaye lo nitzva ela filu tavra garmi chadate, that the Kiddush that I'm saying over here is that even a brand new butcher board that had never been used, so umao de tema mimlach velo tovar ale, you might think that something like that, since it's brand new, the person might change his mind, and this would be Beit Shammai Svara, and not use it, in which case, once again, he was being Toreah for no purpose. Gamash Malan, therefore, comes to tell me that Beit Shammai indeed didn't argue, even on a Tavra Garmi Chodash, it's mutter to use it for cutting the basar. Now, that would mean that according to Baye, Beit Shammai are not Cheshesh, that maybe a person will change his mind and use it, and decide not to use it, in which case he was being Toreah Shelo Letzarech. And that's why he's saying that even Beit Shammai would be moda that you can use a Tavra Garmi, even if it's brand new. On this, the Gemara asks, the Beit Shammai lo chayshelim luchay, is that correct though? Is indeed Beit Shammai not concerned for possible change of mind, which will lead to Terech Shalom Tzorech? But Tanya, doesn't it say in the Brayta Beferish that Beit Shammai omrim, that in a case where somebody wants to shecht on yonta, and he doesn't have a sakin, or he doesn't himself know how to shecht, and he wants to bring a sheichet, or bring the behemoth to the sheichet. Ein molechin tabak v'sakin etzel behemah, you cannot bring a sheichet, and a knife to the behemah. V'lo behemah etzel tabak v'sakin, why? Because we're afraid that after you do all of that work, you'll take a look at it and decide, this is not really suitable for shechita today, and not use it, in which case all of the tircha of bringing the sakin, the tabach, or bringing the behemah would have been lechina, for no purpose. U'beit Hillel omrim molechin zetzazah, and we're not koshish. So if that's the case, it would appear that what Beit Shammai is concerned about is changing your mind. Why then did Abaye say that a Tavra Garmi would be mutter? We have an equivalent machloket when it comes to the question of a spice grind. Where over here, you need spices, and if somebody needs to grind those spices, and he doesn't have now a meducha, which is what you put it in to grind. So Beit Shammai remember lichin tavlinu madoch. You cannot bring the spices and the little hammer that you use to grind it with, etzel meducha, to the meducha, which is the kli that's used to put the spices into for grinding. Velo meducha etzel tavlinu madoch, and not vice versa. You can indeed, and again, it's clear that Beit Shammai or Cheshesh, that you may decide that you don't want to use it, and if that's the case, why are we not Cheshesh, that in a Tavra Garmi, in a butcher board that was brand new, that you may also determine that you don't want to use it. It says the Gemara, there's no comparison between the three cases. It makes sense that Beit Shammai would be Cheshesh for Imluche, for changing your mind, when it comes to the case of the Shechit. Because upon examination you may discover that it's a little bit too lean for you anyway. So let's leave off this behema kechusha. Let's go out again now and look for something that's a little bit better quality meat for yontif. And kederanami atilim luche. The same thing may happen when it comes to cooking and when you need your spices, where you might say, you know what? Instead of going to all the trouble of making this dish that requires all these fancy spices, Let's bring something else that's easy to cook and that doesn't require all this complicated tefillin. But what are you going to say over here about a butcher board? That according to Beit Shammai, we'd be afraid he would change his mind and not butcher it. What else is he going to do? He already went through with the shechita, so obviously the next step is that he's got to do the butchering. The next case that we had in the Mishnah was Beit Shammai Omrim Ein Notnim Et Ha'or, that you're not allowed to use or of a behema that was nishchata today in front of people that are walking by so that it would at least prevent its decay and you won't lose your money of the or. And furthermore, you're not even allowed to move it at all. Beit Shammai is mat. Tana, the Braisa, defines this a little bit more and says, Vishavim, Beit Shammai, Beit Hillel agree, Shemokhina alav basar letzli. You can take that or and use it as a cloth upon which you're going to do melicha to be able to cook meat on Yantiv. And so you can put the meat down, and as long as this meat isn't being used for boiling, for stew, which requires a lot of salt, you're just going to use it for sleep, for broiling, which requires only a little bit of salt. So you can put that little bit of salt over the meat, even though it's on the or, and that salt will start the curing process of the or. Because since, in this case, I'm doing it not in the normal way that Melichas Or would be done, so it's called Kila Acher Yad. And Kila Acher Yad, we're matter even according to Beit Shammai, because of Simchas Yantiv, because we want to make sure that you don't hesitate to do the Shechit. Omer Abaye says, Abaye, this bright Loshano, the only time that we say this, that Beit Shammai is motivated to Beit Hillel, that you can do the Melicha on the skins, is Ela Litzli. It's only if you're going to be doing it for broiling. So that the meat requires a little bit of salt, because when you broil, the salt comes out, the blood comes out because of the heat. It doesn't require a lot of melicha prior to the broiling. Aval lekedera, but if you're talking about now stew, you're talking about boiling, then in that case, you would not be allowed to do it, because that would be similar to real melicha sa'or, and that would be similar to actual ibud ha'or, which is one of the melachas, and would be completely osir, and we wouldn't be mad to that because of simchas yantiv. Says the Gemara, well, I know how to read too. It says that. It says, v'shavin shemokhan alav basar litzli. That's what it said in the Brice of Farish. What exactly is Abaya adding? No, Abaya is adding that hakamashmal and afilu litzli ke'en k'deira asur. What he meant to say is that the purpose in this specific use you're going to be applying to this basar is not the issue. The issue is the norm of melicha litzli. And that in this case, if you want to put a lot of salt on basar litzli, it would be asur just as if it was k'deira. And you shouldn't say that we're defining the distinction in terms of your final usage, but rather the actual amount of salt that you're putting in. Now, in the Mishnah, it's clear that we're looking for ways over here in which you're allowed to somehow take care of that or that it shouldn't be ruined in order not to be mafsided and therefore not to be hesitant about doing the shechita. Now, there are other issues, of course, besides the or. How about the chelev? So, Tanu Rabbanan, Ein mochin et ha-chalavim ve'ein ma'apkin behem. You cannot do melicha on the chelev. Now, this is not completely ochlin. And what you want to do there, if we can't eat it the way it is, what you want to do is to salt it in order to prevent it from decaying. And that is a type of ma'abed, even though it's only drabbanan. But there are those who hold, actually, that such a type of melicha would be also minatayra. And therefore, we aser it. Not only that, ein ma'abchim them, you can't even turn it around so that it gets exposed to the air. And therefore, you're also going to possibly be nimna, because you may lose this. And nonetheless, we will not be matir. The Mishnah Berura says that the reason for this is because it's also similar to ma'abed, moving it from direction to direction, exposing it to the air. But it's brought in some of the Rishonim. The problem over here is that if we allow you to be ma'apech, then you may come to do actual melicha, and that would be similar to ma'abed. Mishum Rabbi Yeshua Amru, Shotkan Beruach Agave Yetedot. Basically, what you can do is you put it in the fridge, or in their terms, you put it onto pegs that hold up shelves in the wind, which will cool it. Omer of Masa, Lachak Rabbi Yeshua. And that's how we pass him. Ikiri Amri, but there's another Lashon that says that Omer of Masa ain't a Lachak Rabbi Yeshua. Now look, Yishleim Lamad Yomar Lachak Rabbi Yeshua. I understand that according to that Lashon that said that we do Paskin, the first Lashon, that we do Paskin like Rabbi Yeshua, then there's a big finish here, and that's why Rav Masa would have to say it. It's true. Because without him saying it, I naturally would have assumed that Tzalkadai Chamina, Yochid V'Rabim, Malachak V'Rabim. that normally we would follow the klal, we should go according to Rabbanon, the Chachamim over here, Aser, putting it even in the fridge. Therefore comes along Ramaster to tell me in this particular case, we're passing like Reb Yeshua. But a little man, the Omer, ain't halacha. If he's coming to tell me, Reb Master, that halacha is not like Reb Yeshua, but I need him to tell me that we should apply a klal that we apply all over, pshita, yachid v'rabim, halacha k'rabim. What possible chiddush would there be that Reb Master would have to say that ain't halacha Reb Yeshua? Answers the Gemara, because ma'o the tema mistabra time in the Rabbi Yeshua. I might have thought that in this case, even though it's a yochid and a rabbi, it makes sense to paskin like Rabbi Yeshua, because it's so reasonable what he's saying. Dilo sharitale. If you're not going to allow him to put it in the refrigerator, sumim nevelo shachit, he'll end up being moneah from the shechita for sure. He's not going to lose all those chalafim. In which case, he's going to be moneah from simchas yontif. Kamashman, therefore, comes along to tell me that nonetheless, the halach is not like Rabbi Yeshua, and we should indeed stick to the general rule that yochid v'rabim halacha k'rabim. Okay, so according to the Chachamim, it is not permissible to put it into the refrigerator, or in their terms, into the wind chamber, even though you may end up losing all of the chalev, and even though that may cause you to end up not doing the shechita in the first place and damaging your simchas yontif. So why is it, can you tell me, Maish, now why is it that this particular case, even though it may cause you not to shech, we're going to be machmir, the chachamim, are machmir, and they say that you cannot do it. Why is this different than the or that we said before? You could put the or lifnei ador san, according to Beis Hillel, and we didn't find it. We were machmirs. Isn't this exactly the same issue? We're trying to be matir something in order to make sure that you won't be moneah simchas yontif. Answers the Gemara, no, they're different. Awesome, the din over there by the or that we said was mutter, lo mukhamils, it's not clear that the point over here is only that you're trying to save it from decay. Because after all, the or is usable just as something to sit down on, like a beach towel, and the Mela people will say that the heter over here to put it in this place is because of the fact that you can use it to sit on a yantar. And they will not, because of that heter, come to actually do ibud on yantar. When it comes to Hocha, when it comes to the case over here about the Chalev in the refrigerator, my time is surely Rabbana. People may say, why is it that the Rabbana allowed me to take the Chalev and put it here? In order to make sure that it shouldn't come to decay and to be ruined. And if that's the case, so what's the difference if I put it in the freezer? What's the difference if I actually do Ibud? The point is, I have to do something to prevent it from decaying. Therefore, in the case of the melichas achalavim, the refrigerator of the chalavim, we're makbid to aser because of the possibility of melicha. And when it comes to the case of orlif neadorsan, we're not chayshish that people will end up actually doing melicha, which of course would be a diraisa for sure on or. Now, the halach is, of course, in the same way that you can do bishul, you can do melicha on yontif if you're going to eat it on that day. Melicha is simply another form of bishul. But you cannot go ahead and do melicha for something that you're not planning on eating on that day. Nonetheless, says the Gemara, there is a way to work it out that you would be able to be moleach even pieces of meat that you weren't planning on eating today. If it's possible for you to do one act of melicha on a number of different pieces without going to additional trouble and spread the salt over all the pieces at once, even though you only need one of those pieces, you're allowed to do it, because since you're doing it bevatachas, it's one tircha for the whole thing, and they were matir. Ravada Barava had another approach. He was ma'arim. Umalach garma garma. See, he was ha'arama. Ha'arama means you pull a trick, so to speak, which everybody understands what you're doing, but as long as you're sticking to the form, you're maintaining the halachic requirements. Nobody's going to come to do it otherwise. So what he would do was he was ma'arim. Umalach garma garma. See, he would take a piece, a whole large piece, bimoleach it, and then say, no, I don't really want this piece. Then he would take another piece, and he would be moleach that, and keep on doing that until he finally finished the entire thing. And in order to make sure that there would be no limitations on simchas yontif, so we were matir doing that type of ha'aroma, and making sure that way that you would do the shechita, not b'chayshish, that you would end up losing the meat. The other case that we had, we spoke about earlier also with Rabbi Yochanan's attempt to be mahabik the girsa, is that Beit Shammai Amrim ein misalkina tatrisim biyom tov, u Beit Hillel matir naf lahachzir. So here we're talking about now little booths from which people would sell. They would remove the door from the booth, set it down, it became the counter, and at the end of the day they would put it back up, and it now became that which locked their booth and everything that was in it. And these booths were not attached to the ground, so there was no kashash of actual binyan vestira, and they have it in of kaling. So the question over here we talked about earlier is the question of whether there is binyan vestira bekaling and gezeris that would come from that. So according to Beit Shammai, you can't even take off the tris. That would be stira. According to Beit Hillel, not only can you take it off, because that's absolutely essential, in order to make sure that the stores, the booths, will open to sell tzarchei yamta, but they're matir even lachzir. Once you took it off, we have to be matir you to be able to put it back on, because otherwise, obviously, nobody's going to take it off to leave his booth open for people to steal all of his stock. Now, first, the Gemara wants to clarify what we're talking about. My trisin. When you say trisin, what do you refer to? Omar ula trisei chanuyot. We're talking about over here the trisim of these booths. And the question over here is, so these people will sell off of their counter, which was the door, and they'll put out their spices or, you know, little things that are needed for yantav. And when they finish, put it back in, put the door back up, and it's that type of thing that we're arguing about. So according to Beit Shammai, you're not allowed to take that off to sell for tzarech yantav. As I explained earlier, there's no problem with selling even on yantav, because as long as you don't mention a price, you can do the deal and then figure out what you owe them afterwards. And obviously, if you can't even take it off the tzarech yantav, you certainly can't put it back on, which is not the tzarech yantav. Whereas according to Beis Hillel, we're matter taking it off for simchas yantav, and as we'll see later, we're going to also be matter putting it back on, because otherwise you won't take it off. Indeed, there are three cases in which we needed to be matir, the end of a process, because that was the only way to make sure that the beginning would be done, so that we had to let you do certain things, because otherwise there wouldn't be any simchas yantav if we wouldn't have allowed you to do it, even though you could have done the beginning on your own just to do the shechita and so on, but you wouldn't because of other things that we need to be matir. The cases are the or lifnei hador asan, as we said earlier, you'll be monea from shechita if you're not able to save the skins. Trisei chanuyot, that we just spoke about over here, that we need to be matir you to put them back on the doors, because otherwise you won't start selling. Vechazarat retiyah, the case of the chazarat retiyah by mikdash, there it's talking about on yantav, it's talking about on Shabbos. If somebody has a wound on his hand, and it now has a bandage with a poultice on it, and you're allowed to take it off and put it back on Shabbos. Now, you're not allowed to do this outside of the Megadesh because of the gzera of shchikat samamanim. All types of refuah are also because we're afraid that you may go through the apothecary's grinder and grind up what you need. That would be us because of tochin. But over here, in the Mikdash, they were mat to letzarech avoda. If we won't allow a kohen who needs to do the avoda today to put back the poultice after he's done the avoda, then he won't take it off. And therefore, he will not be able to do the avoda in the Beis HaMikdash because of chatzitza. So these are the three things. But there's an additional thing, according to Rechava and Rav Yehuda. There's also af apoteach avito, or v'matchili sato, b'sato, agava regel, alipa the Rav Yehuda, v'yomar yigmar. Now, a little bit of introduction to what this is referring to. When it came to the dinim of Tuma V'Taira, we basically ended up having an organization called Chavirim. Chavirim would have to actually accept membership in Chaverut, and part of that membership was that they would be careful and would be bekiyim in the dinim of Tumah V'Taira. Anybody who didn't become a member of Chaverut was known as just a regular guy, namely an Am Haaretz, guy out on the street. And we assumed, because of the complexities of dinim of Taira, that anything that they would come in touch with over the course of time would end up being metame them. They wouldn't realize it, and they wouldn't be mitzayer. And therefore, we were gozer various levels of tumah and things that they came into contact with. Interestingly enough, the most chomer time, which is the time of the regal, where everybody would come to the Beis HaMikdash, we dafke did not make such a gezerah. Now, on one level, we did not make such a gezerah because it leads to tremendous machlokas and a breakdown in the Achdus Ha'am, because they would feel that they don't have any place in the Beis HaMikdash if we wouldn't accept the things they're bringing to the Beis HaMikdash. And they would go and they would make there for their own mokum or their own mizbeach. Because of that, we had to be matur. We didn't want now to be mavayish them, make them feel as second-rate citizens. But the Rambam explains that there's also the very fact that they were coming now, Aliyah LaRegel, to be in a place where everybody is going to be together, that when it comes to Aliyah LaRegel, indeed, even in Amoritz, it's makbid, and there was good reason to say that during the regel, we bring a right from a pasuk, Kol Yisrael Chaverim. Kol Yisrael are considered to be chaverim, literally chaverim, not just friends, but chaverim, members of chaverut during the regel, and you're allowed, therefore, to be semech on the taira of an Am Haaretz. Now the question is, suppose you, a chaver, have a store, you opened up a whole barrel of wine to sell, and or you were selling now isa, dough, and everybody's walking into the store and touching and tasting and so on, including Am Haaretz, which during the regel is fine, but after the regel, now nobody wants to buy, and you're not allowed to sell, because it's all Tomei. However, Rabbi Yehuda said that you can be Gomer. In other words, once you started something for the regel, it's mutter to continue to sell, and people can continue to be Semech on its Tyra, because if not, you wouldn't start to sell. You'd always be afraid that the rest of the barrel would go to waste, because after all, it was touched by Am Haaretz. So therefore, says Rechov, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that this is a case of being mater tchilaso mishum sofo, because we don't allow you to continue to sell until you complete the entire barrel, until you complete the entire isa. So if that would be the case, you wouldn't start selling in the first place where there was any chashash that it wouldn't be completed. Therefore, this is a fourth example. There's an interesting sidelight over here, which is that Rechov calls Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Yehuda. I mean, Rechov obviously didn't see Rabbi Yehuda himself. And therefore, Rashi explains, he called him Rabbi Yehuda because he was his Rabbi Muvak. Rechova was very, very mocked about who he quoted. The Gemara mentions this elsewhere. And because of this, he called him Rabbi, so that we should know that the Rav Yehuda is referring to was his Rebbe, Rabbi Yehuda. Ask the Gemara back on Ula and Rechova. What is the point of making this list? Or if Neador San, it's a Beferish Mishnah. Why does he have to tell us? Tanina, it says Beferish Basil Matir. So clearly they were matirit. I mean, the only reason that they were matirit, undoubtedly, is because not to be Moneasim Chasyantiv. No? Says the Gemara, no. Ma'atatema Tamei of the Basil. If it hadn't been for Ula, I might have thought that Basil's reasoning is has nothing to do with Sim Chasyantiv and being matir sof and Mishum Tchilata. It's Mishum the Chazil and Mizgalel. They hold that Mi Ikra, then there's no Isser involved, because since the R is suitable for lying on, so it could be that it's mutter even without taking into consideration the question of whether you'd be moneh from Simchas Yantam. And if that's the case, afilu mi erev yantav nami. Let's say you went ahead and did shechita before, and you have or from erev yantav. Is it mutter to put it lifnei ador san? Maybe, if there's no problem. Comes along Ula to say, oh no, there is a problem. Kamash Malan, that it's only because he tears off from Mishum Tchilatan. We wouldn't rely on this svara of Chazil Mizgalai if we weren't looking for a reason to find some kind of heter over here. And the reason that we're looking for the heter is because this is a case of Itirusofa Mishum Tchilatan. Therefore, the Yom Tavin, the Erev Yom Tavlo, the only case where it would be mutter to do this would be if the Shkita took place on Yantav. So over there, since we know that if we don't allow you to put the Orl of Neador Sun, there won't be a Shkita B'Yantav. So therefore, we were mutter. But Erev Yom Tavlo, if you have Or that was left over from Erev Yom Tav, which in that case is no issue, of Itiru Sofa Mishum Tchilato, because you could have taken care of it before and you did the Shechita before and it had nothing to do with your problems of having Yantav. So even if we would answer it, you would simply take care of the skin before Yantav and you wouldn't be Monea Simchas Yantav. Therefore, it's necessary for Ula to tell us that that is the issue and that it's not in and of itself ipso facto mutter. Okay, what about the next case that Ula brought? Trisei Chanuyot. It's also a fair shemishna, nami tanina. Esil, matir, naflahachzir. So what is the chiddush? Ah, again, the chiddush is. I might have thought that the reason that Beit Hillel is matir is not because he's matir something that's aser sof from Mishum Tchilason, but rather because there is nothing aser. Because he holds ein binyan bekelim, vein stirah bekelim. And since those chanuyot not being connected to the ground have a din of kelim, so there's bechlal, no question, there's no bona, there's no stira. If that would be the case, afilu debatim, even if you have stam, a cabinet at home that you need to do the same thing, which has nothing to do with the tzorach yantiv. So now you'd be able to do that on yantiv too, and take off the door in the same way, and put the door back on Kamash Malan. Therefore, comes Ogula to tell you the only reason over here, I shouldn't say the only reason, but the reason that we're Semech on not being Gezer, the Binyan Vestira, Bekelim, is because we're trying to find at even though Lamaisa indeed ain't Binyan Vestira Bekelim. So, what is the problem over here? Well, there could be a number of problems. Some learn. The problem might be Tircha Shalola Tzarech. Some learn, as Tosfos says, that the problem is Shema Yitka, that you may, in fact, screw something in very tight, in which case that would be real binyan. So, therefore, okay, we're Samech on the Ein Binyan Vestir V'Kelim, because we need to find Yitir Sofa Mishum Kilatan. But since that's the case, it would apply only to cases where we need to be Matir Sofa Mishum Kilatan. And that would include only the Chanuyot, where we need for people to be selling their Tavlin on Yontev. But the Batimlo, where you don't have something that's a Tzarech Yontev, we weren't Matir, because it's all dependent on the additional need of Sofa Mishum Kilatan. Okay, but what about the third case? What about Chazarat Ritiyah b'Migdash Nami Tanina? That's a Beferish Mishnah. Machzir and Ritiyah b'Migdash Avalo b'Medina. So what is it that Ula is teaching us? No. There too, Ma'udah Tema. I might have thought the reason over here, if Ula hadn't said it, that why do we say it's Matriz Bishum to Ein Shvus b'Migdash? It's nothing to do with Sofer Mishum Tchilatan. It's because we're not Kaiser Dinim of Shvus in the Beis HaMikdash at all. And even if it's not Matzarech Aveda, if you're in the Beis HaMikdash, it's not because we need you to do the Aveda, therefore we have to be Matir you to put the bolts back on to your aching hand. And if that's the case, if you're going to Lav Bar Avoda, even if there's a Kohen there who's not going to be doing Avoda, cannot do Avoda, he's also allowed to put it back on. Gamash Malani Tirosof on Mishum Tchilatan. Therefore comes Lagula to say that the basis of this is only because we're looking for the Heter Sof on Mishum Tchilatan, that he should be able to do the Avoda. If we don't allow him to put it back on, he won't do Avoda. In which case, the Bar Avoda, in the Lav Bar Avoda, only a Kohen who is a Bar Avoda, and somebody who's going to be able to do the Avoda, to him we remind. If the Kohen cannot be doing Avoda himself, then we're not Stam Matir Al Shvus B'Migdash under any also circumstances. And therefore, this third case is also a Chiddush, because now that we know Ula, we know that it can only apply in cases where it is a problem of doing Avoda. Okay, now what about Rechava's case? Proteacha Chavito. Now all of that, where we were Matir Sofa Mishum Tchilato because of Rabbi Yehuda, who said Yigmar, Nami Tanina, it's a Beferish Mishnah too. Proteacha Chavito, Matir Bisoto Agava Rega, Rabbi Yehuda, Imer Yigmar, Vachachamim Yimlo Yigmar. What's the Chiddush of Rechava, who's quoting Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi Yehuda, we know holds it Yigmar, says the Gemara, because Ma'odatem, I might have thought the reason that Rabbi Yehuda says Yigmar is not because he holds of Sofa Mishum Tchilato, it's because Tumas Hamoritz that there is no Tumah here at all, because what it is that the Amoritz touched is Torah Gomer. So why not be Gomer? But Eino Chinami, if there would be a problem, so then we would not be Matir Sofa Mishum Tchilasa. And if that's the case, if that's the case, then even though he hadn't begun selling this particular wine barrel or this particular Isa, and it had Stam come into contact with an Amoritz, and Ami, it should be Torah, and he can continue to sell it. Gamash Malanda, we're only relying on the Tire of the Amoritz, but because of Yitiru Sofan Mishum Tchilatan. And therefore, in order not to be Moneav, to have people selling and opening wine and so on, during the course of the Rego, we were Matirat. But if that's the case, only if, in fact, that person had begun selling. Therefore, Yitchilin, but Lo Yitchil Lo. You cannot be Gomer Stam to sell something that an Amaretz touched that you hadn't begun selling during the Rego. Ask the Gemara, why is it that Ula doesn't mention the case of Rechava? It's certainly a valid case. My time alone, Amar, why doesn't he say the fourth halacha about Yigmor Acharega? Obviously, Bepluta Lokamari. Ula's not coming to tell me a case where, according to one man, the Omar, it would be Matir Sofa Mishum Tchilatan. Over here, it's a machlokas. The Chachamim disagree with Rabbi Yehuda, and they said they did not be Matir. So why is he going to list something and get involved in machlokas? Says the Gemara, what do you mean get involved in machlokas? The cases that he brought were also machlokas in. Those were all machlokas in the Mishnah. Beit Shammai was cholik and Beis Hillel. He said, you cannot put the oil lifting out to our son. You cannot be machzor the trees. So why did he list those cases? Says the Gemara, that's not called a machlokas. Beit Shammai, but makom Beit Hillel in a Mishnah. Because of the rule that Allah is always like Beis Hillel, so even though Beit Shammai is cholik, but that's not considered to be a list of things that are shanim but machlokas, because after all, Ula is stating a normative halacha. Getting back now to the question of the Trisei Chanuyot, the Machlokas Beit Shammai and Beis Hillel. The Mishnah, in which it says that Beis Hillel and Beit Shammai are chaylik, even on taking off the door of the Tris, not only on the putting it back, is the Loki Aitan. Does not go according to the following time. The Tanya Amar Reb Shimei ben Elazar, Modim Beit Shammai u Beit Hillel, Shemesalkin et HaTrisim B'Yom Tov. Actually, Beit Shammai is also motivated that you're allowed to take it off. The question over here was only putting it back on. Furthermore, continues the Braisa, Bamet Vormamurim, where do we say that Beit Shammai asks us to put the Trisim back on? That's only Bishyesh Lehem Tzir. It's only where they have a Tzir. We use the word Tzir for hinge, but the truth is that a Tzir, I mean, that's the way the hinges worked in their days. A hinge was a peg that jutted out on top and on bottom, in which it was inserted into a hole in the ground and into something on the the doorway above. And so if there is a tzir, so then when you put the delet back on, it's very similar to binyan and stira, to real binyan and stira, and therefore we asked it, aval ein lehem tzir, if there was no tzir at all, and you're simply taking a board and putting it over, so then divrei hakol mutar, that's not a problem, because it's not even similar to binyan or stira. You're just, it's like putting a cover on a pot, basically. Says the Gemara, but wait, Tanya, there's a braisa that says exactly the opposite. That says, b'med, v'arim amurim b'sha ein lehem tzir. That in fact the only time that Beis Hillel was matir was where there is no tzir. Avayesh lam tzir divrei hakol aser. Actually, Beis Hillel himself would have asered it if there was a tzir. Omar Abaye, he says, Abaye, we can work the whole thing out. There's no problem. There's no chokus between the two prices. There are three separate cases that we need to take into consideration when we're talking about a tzir. Vishyesh lam tzir min hatzad. If you have normal tzirim on the side of the door, so you would have one on top, one on the bottom, divrei hakol aser, everybody is made of that. There you're not allowed to take it off or to put it back on, because it's, according to Beis Shammai, it would be real isdiraisa, binyan isdira, according to Beis Hillel, but yosu merabonim, because it's so similar to binyan, and if we allow you to do it on this little booth, people may do it even to the door on their houses. Or again, we have the other issue, which is shema yitka, you may do it very tightly and screw it in. So these type of gezeiros stood even against simchas yontov aliyah b'Beis Hillel too. So that's if it has normal two tzirim. So there, everybody owes a toss. Einam tzir kol ikar, and then consistent with the other braisa, if there is no tzir at all, divrei hakol mutar. It's not similar in the slightest way to binyan and stira, and it's not even considered to be tircha. So even Beit Shammai would be matir. Kipleke b'shiyesh lem tzir be'emtza. It's talking about over here where there's a peg that keeps the door in place in the middle, but it has nothing to do with the normal hinge. So over there we have a machloket Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. So ma'asavah Beit Shammai holds that even though this door only has one hinge and it's not real binyan, and it wouldn't be considered to be binyan midiraisa, nonetheless it's also bin rabbana, because gazrina tzir behem tzadu tzir min hatzad. We have to be gazer because a tzir min hatzad would be a real isa diraisa. Marzav whereas they say, oh, it's lo gazrina. It's not kedai to make a gzera like this, because then we have our problem of being monayasim b'syantav if people can't purchase their tavli niman yantav. In which case, now everything is answered. The first price that's at the machlokas is where it has it here. That's talking about where it has its here, one tzir in the middle, which is not real binyan v'sira. And where it said, where there is no tzir, everybody's mutter, that means where there's no tzir at all. The second price that says at the machlokas is where there is no tzir, that means where there is no normal tzir, meaning there's no two hinges on both sides, top and bottom, on the door on the side, but there is a peg. And that what it says over there, that if it has a tzir, that the divrei hakol asur, that's talking about if it has a real tzir, even Beis Hillel is made of that it's asur.